In our previous year, we began a discussion about the foods that are eaten Rosh Hashanah in the evening, and particularly the hirotzen. When we speak about the hirotzen, there's a very big question that is discussed, and that is, what is the proper time to say the hirotzen? The Mishnah Brura in Sifkot and Dalet says, V'yomei abakosh achas cholos ha'achila. First, you should eat whatever food you're eating, if you make a bracha on that food. And therefore the poskim say that according to Mishnah Brura, take even a small amount of that food into your mouth in order that you should be able to say the rotzon. You don't have to even eat a kazayis. And then take that bite, swallow it, and then say the rotzon, and then take another bite. However, there were many minhagim that said the hirotzen even before eating anything between the bracha and the food. They didn't want to say the hirotzen before the bracha, because how can you say a hirotzen, which is personal tefillah, before the bracha, which Chazal told us to make, and it wasn't considered a hefsek. This is based on the Magen Avraham, which the Magen Avraham says to first make the bracha and afterwards take a bite, and then afterwards say the rotzen in order to avoid a hefsek. Even though the Magen Avraham, according to Eliyahu Rabbah, says that the rotzen is not necessarily a hefsek. There are those that, because of this question, say the hirotzon before the bracha. The Paiskim ask a question. If you're going to say the hirotzon after eating, is it still effective? And of course, the answer is, of course, it's effective. It's no different than, as we said in the beginning of our previous year, when you just look at the food, it's effective. Certainly, saying the yirotzen at any point is effective. Why isn't saying the Yirotzen before the bracha a good Eitzah? So the Farshim say, because it's inappropriate to say our own Yirotzen before we say Hashem, the bracha that Chazal say. In general, we're supposed to speak about a Kodesh Baruch Hu before we speak about ourselves. And the Raya is from Yaakov Avinu. When Yaakov Avinu gives the bracha to the children of Yosef, he says, Alekim HaShasalcha Avoysai Lefon Avram Yitzchok Alekim HaRoya Oysi Mi'oydeveda Yoyim Azeh. So he's first Meshabeich HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and afterwards he gives the bracha Hamalach HaGoyel Oysi Mikol Yiro Yivarech Es Norim V'yidgul Roiv on the Karev Haaretz. In fact, Rav Avadya Yosef, in a tshuva, in Chavdas Chelek Aleph, Simen Nun Aleph, brings a raya that the right thing to do is make the bracha, take a little bite, and then say the yirotzen. He says, because we find this by every time we make a l'chaim. The proper way of making a l'chaim, he says, is to make a bracha, a bar pirgofen if it's on wine, a shahakal if it's on liquor, take a little sip, and then make the l'chaim. So we see from here that that's the proper way of making, of the saying the bracha, saying the l'chaim. Of course, when we speak about this question, the question that comes up is, why are we making a bracha? Why are we making a bracha? Isn't this part of the meal? And this opens up a very, very important question. It's most relevant regarding what we spoke about, what we read in the words of Shulchan Aruch, regarding the famous minig of dipping the apple into the honey. Even though this minig of dipping the apple into the honey is not mentioned in the Gemara, it's not mentioned in the Gaonim, the source of this minig is a Avudram, which the Rama quotes. We all know that this is a very famous minig that everybody follows. The Gra says, what's the basis of the minig? The Gra says, the Pasuk says that when Yaakov Avinu entered Yitzchak's home, he says, Rei b'ni k'reich asada, and the Mepharshim say the reich asada that Yitzchak Avinu meant to say was the chakal tapuchim, an apple orchard. Since that happened in Rosh Hashanah, we eat apple on Rosh Hashanah. The Ben Ish Chai gives a different explanation, and it's very connected to the sugyas here. The next sugya that we discuss here in Masechta Krisis. The Gemara discusses how the different methods how one can have hanah from something, and the Gemara mentions three different types of hanah: tam, taste; mara is looking at it; and reyach is the smell. He says the apple has all of these qualities, and therefore it's something that represents hanah, and since it represents the ultimate hanah, that's why we eat the apple on Rosh Hashanah in the evening. As I said before, in the Kabbalah, it speaks about Tchakal Tapuchim, which represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what makes apple special. But now the question is, when to eat the apple in the honey, and do you make a bracha on the apple and the honey? The Maril says that the minig is to eat the apple right after Kiddush, and he made to make a bari priyetz on the apple, and you don't make any bracha on the honey. Because why it's pshat in the Maril? Because if you eat the apple after you wash, you have two issues. One issue is, do you or don't you make a bari priyetz on the apple? Because if it's ready after the hamotzi, it's part of the meal. And we know that any food that comes as part of the meal, we don't make a bari priyetz. On the other hand, raw apples are not a typical food that's eaten in a meal. So the halacha is that you don't make a bracha, you don't make a separate bracha on foods that are brought in the middle of the meal, only when it's a food that normally comes part of the meal. This is not normally part of the meal. So in order to avoid that problem, obviously the Maril opinion was to eat the apple before you wash. But that isn't either perfect, because if you eat the apple between the kiddush and the washing, we know that the halacha is the kiddush has to be b'makom suda. And part of the way of fulfilling the halacha of kiddush b'makom suda is by eating, washing right after kiddush. And here we're having a big hefsik between the kiddush and the washing. There's another reason to eat the apple before washing, because as we learned, when you eat the apple and the honey, you say shetachadish aleinu shana toiva umesuka. But we know also that in Rosh Hashanah, starting Rosh Hashanah, and there are various menhagim how long this goes. Some say that it goes for the seres yimei tshuva. Some say it goes through the Yom Noraim till after some say it goes till after Hashanah Rabbah. Some say it goes all the way up to Shabbos Bereishis. We dip the chal into honey. So if we're dipping the chal into honey, we're going to say Shana Tov and Mesukah on that. But on the other hand, here we're saying that you're supposed to say the Shana Tov and Mesukah on the apple and the honey. So if you eat the apple and the honey before you wash, then you could say the Shana Tov and Mesukah before, you could say the Shana Tov and Mesukah before you wash. There are those that are, because of the Shaila, I saw this is the opinion of the Shvus Yaakov, that says that you should eat the apple together with the challah. And if you eat the apple together with the challah, so then you solve all the problems. That means take a piece of challah and attach the apple to it, which this is the very commonly used minig when people eat fruit as a compote, as a dessert in the meal. And these are people that don't eat dessert normally. Because if you always eat dessert as part of your meal, then you don't have to make a bracha on the dessert because it's part of your meal. But if you eat the dessert as part of your, if you don't normally eat dessert, so then you should have to make a bracha rishayna on the dessert. So many people have the minig during the week. They don't eat dessert. Shabbos, they eat dessert. So they take a piece of challah with their dessert. And that's the way they avoid the problem, the question of making a bracha on the apple. So in order to avoid the problem on Rosh Hashanah in the evening as well, what they do is that they eat the apple with the challah, with the honey all together, and you solve the two problems. If you're eating the apple together with the challah, then you certainly don't have to make a bracha. You don't have a hefsek between the kiddush and the challah. You don't have a question about making a Bari Pri Eitz on the apple. And you don't have a question on what food should you say the Shana Tov and Mesukah, because you're eating it all together. And that's actually what the Shvus Yaakov and Chelek Beis Simen Chav Zayin suggests. But as I said before, the opinion of the Maril is very obvious, that he held that you should eat the apple and the honey right after Kiddush. The Sefer Zichron in Yehuda says that the reason why we eat an apple dipped in honey, because the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos says, "My diksiv," the pasuk says, Kitapuach batzahayar, matapuach ze pira kodnim l'alof, af yisroh l'gdimu nasa l'nishma. So the Gemara, the Mefarshim explain that the apple has a very interesting characteristic, that the fruit comes out before the leaves, just like we said nasa before even nishma. When it comes shvuos by night, we want to speak about tzchusim for Klal Yisrael. There is no greater tzchus for Klal Yisrael than to remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we were the ones to say Nasa V'Nishma. Others, because of the question that we just mentioned, say that the apple that should be eaten should be a cooked apple. A cooked apple is like more of a dish that's eaten together with the meal, and you wouldn't have a shaila about making a separate bracha. Because of all these shailas, interestingly, I saw a minig that the minig in Belz, and I confirmed this, was that they put the apple on the honey on the table, and they didn't eat it. So, particularly since, as we quoted the Gemara Masechta Horius, Daf Yud Beis, that according to a version of the Gemara Masechta Horius, the entire minig is only lemechsi, to see and not to eat. So you fulfill you fulfill what the Gemara suggests by just looking on one hand, and you avoid all the shilas or brachas because you're not eating it, and it saves you all of those shilas.